from Mark, the 9th chapter, if you'd like to follow along. And we're going to begin with verse 9. In Mark, the 9th chapter, it opens with the transfiguration. Jesus transformed, changing figures there right before the very eyes of Peter, James, and John. We take up with verse 9. We're going to read through verse 13. Mark records, as they came down from the mountain, he charged them that they should tell no man what things they had seen till the Son of Man were risen from the dead. And they kept that saying with themselves, questioning one with another. They didn't question Jesus, questioning one with another what the rising from the dead should mean. And they ask him, saying, why say the scribes that Elijah, must first come? And he answered and told them, Elijah verily cometh first and restoreth all things, and how it is written of the Son of Man that he must suffer many things and be set at naught. But I say unto you that Elijah is indeed come, and they have done unto him whatsoever they listed, as it is written of him. After being told not to reveal what occurred on the Mount of Transfiguration, Peter, James, and John had a question about what Jesus said there in verse 9. As they came down from the mount, though, he charged them to tell no man what things they had seen till the Son of Man were risen from the dead. They weren't sure what Jesus rising from the dead, his statement that he made to them about him going to rise from the dead, they weren't sure what that meant. Though they believed in the future resurrection, and yet they were perplexed by the announcement of Jesus' resurrection. A little later in this same chapter, look at verse 31 and 32. For he taught his disciples and said to them, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men, they shall kill him. And after he's killed, he shall rise the third day. But they understood not that saying, and were afraid to ask. In our text, look at verse 11. They did ask Jesus a question, but not regarding his resurrection. Why say the scribes that Elijah must first come? That is, to precede the Messiah. Jesus confirms that the scribes were correct. Elijah must come first, in verse 12. In Malachi chapter 4, verse 5, Malachi says this, behold, I send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, describing Jesus' crucifixion. But we note from reading Matthew chapter 17, verse 12, that Elijah had already come, hadn't he? And Jesus wasn't talking about Elijah the prophet, but he was talking about in the person of Elijah, John the Baptist, because this is said in Matthew chapter 17, verse 12 and 13. Then the disciples understood that he spoke to them about John the Baptist when he used the word Elijah. The role of questions. We want to think about the role of questions. In the first instance, the disciples did not understand what Jesus said about his own resurrection, and they did not question him. He told them, don't tell anybody what you've seen about the transfiguration, but he didn't say, don't tell anybody about my resurrection. But they didn't understand what he said, and they did not pose a question to him. In the second instance, they did not understand about Elijah or John the Baptist coming, but they did ask the question, and they received from the Lord an answer. Jesus used the role of questions many times to teach people. This is one of his great teaching tools, to ask a question. In regards to his healing on the Sabbath, in Matthew the 12th chapter, the Pharisees criticized Jesus for his healing on the Sabbath, and he posed the question to them, "What man is there among you who has one sheep? If it falls into the pit on the Sabbath, will he not lay hold and pull it out?" Of course he will. And Jesus is saying, why should I put off healing till the day after the Sabbath when I can do good on the Sabbath, when I can heal then? He asked a question regarding his identity. Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And of course, Peter made the great confession after the disciples gave the answer. Some say you're Moses, some say you're Elias or one of the prophets. And then he posed another question, but whom do you say that I am? And Peter made the famous statement, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. So Jesus teaching here by questions. He questions an individual, and he made them think about the answer they were giving, and really they were teaching themselves something, weren't they, by the answer that they gave. In regards to paying taxes, in Luke the 20th chapter, the Pharisees said to him, is it lawful to pay taxes? And he said, taking a coin, whose image and superscription is upon this coin? Caesar's. And he said, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, unto God the things that are God's. And he posed the question to them, whose inscription is on the coin? In regards to having authority, he questioned the Pharisees, Matthew chapter 21. We've studied this already in our lesson in John. The baptism of John, did it come from heaven or from men? And that's one of his ways of teaching, a great teaching tool. Asking questions can be very useful, of course. The teacher in school asks the student questions. Sometimes they come in the form of tests to determine what the student has learned. The disciples learned by asking questions. In our reading, one instance they failed to ask a question and did not learn, and in the other one they did ask a question and received information. In Mark the 4th chapter, one example, in verse 10, they asked Jesus about his parables. When he was done, those around him, the 12, asked him about the parable. How were they to know the meaning? This particular parable under consideration is the parable of the sower. How were they to learn the meaning of the parable of the sower without asking Jesus what it meant? They ask about their inability to cast out a demon. You remember in Mark the 9th chapter, they were unable to cast out a demon, and Jesus went ahead and did it. And they said, why weren't we able to do it? He said, because you were lacking in faith, lacking in confidence of your ability to do it. We hit pretty soon in our Sunday morning Bible study from John chapter 9. The instance of the blind man, blind from birth, being healed. The Pharisee, rather his disciples, raised the question, why was this man born blind? Was it a sin that his parents had committed? And Jesus said, no, it was not that at all. Neither he nor his parents sinned, causing him to be blind. But they were asking for information here. Can we learn a lesson by this? We should learn by asking questions, and we should not hesitate to ask. Questions in Bible class, questions after a sermon. I'm sure Brother Chuck would not mind you asking a question about something that he's spoken. Questions at any time. Questions at the building, questions on the telephone, questions by email, questions in private conversations. Do not be afraid to ask. Some individuals are afraid to ask a question, fearing that individuals might think that they're ignorant. Think about this. Which is better? Which is better? To appear ignorant temporarily or to remain ignorant permanently? Well, you know, I didn't understand, but and I should have asked a question, but is the teacher in school offended by the student who doesn't understand and asks a question? Children ask questions many times. I remember years ago, our oldest grandchild, when we first met Josh, he was about 3 and a half, almost 4. And man, I'm telling you, that kid could ask some questions. He could wear you out asking question after question after, and you know, it was very wearisome sometimes answering all of his questions. But you know, that's the way that they learn. In the will of Christ, a pupil, a learner, a follower after is a lifelong learner. In life itself, we should never get to the point where we stop learning. And in studying God's Word, I don't think we ever get to the point where we say, you know, I can't learn anything else. Peter said, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And he didn't say, when you've been a member of the church X number of years, you don't need to continue to grow. One good man that we close with. In Acts the 8th chapter, as he was reading his Bible, and an evangelist came up to him, and this reader said to him, reading from Isaiah, whom is the prophet talking about? Himself or some other man? And Philip began at the same scripture, and he explained to the eunuch who Isaiah was talking about. And then he posed another question, didn't he? You know, right here's water. What hinders me from being baptized? What if the eunuch had never asked that question? What if he had just let it go? You know, like we are many times. You know, I have a question, Philip, but I'm afraid to ask. No, you go ahead and ask. He asked two questions, one that began his learning about Jesus and one that led to his being saved by Jesus. Thanks for listening. We'll go into our Bible study period now.